www.facebook.com/enkalavislampage. The another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن.
I am a traveler. Part 2. A song that has the fragrance of the companion shall take a nation to the companion. Sometimes childhood memories appear before my eyes like a pale pall of imagination. Among those rippling images there sails the craft of my thought towards the shore of silence to anchor in the harbor of its own. I dwell on my existence. I want to decipher the oriental thoughts and secrets and to put an end to my bewilderment and self-alienation. I am a traveler standing on the shore of thoughts. My aim to pinpoint my lost identity. I am a traveler, walking on the road of human thoughts. My destination is the land of belief in oneself, in a bid to revive an identity which might no longer exist. It is an identity which, like a child's toy, is played with, but in a deadly way.
ये वो घर है जहाँ अल्लामा इकबाल 9 नवंबर 1877 को सुबह 5.
Here is the very room wherein Iqbal was born on the 9th of November 1877 at 5:14 a.m.
उन्होंने इस घर की इब्तिदा की 6 फरवरी 1861.
The house here was built by his grandfather Sheikh Muhammad Rafiq. He was the first to occupy the house. On the 6th of February 1861, he bought 3 small rooms and a house near here until Iqbal was born. Later, Iqbal's elder brother came here. The house has undergone no change since then.
Then Muhammad Iqbal went to Punjab University, one of Pakistan's oldest universities, established in 1882 by the British ruler of the Indian subcontinent in Lahore. There, the instruction language was English, though some lessons were taught in Urdu.
Shairi ke mukhtalif adwar hain, maslan ibtidaiya Allama's poetry consists of certain periods.
His poetry was at first as the poetry of the day. He would say at that time, "My Urdu poems are like a building made of clay." Little by little, his Persian poems came into existence. Among the first Persian poems were the familiar secrets and the mysteries of rapture. Such poems end with Javed Name, or perhaps with "What can be done, O Eastern people?"
Gradually, Iqbal changes from a national poet to the poet of the Islamic world. His versified story, "The Familiar Secrets and the Mysteries of Rapture," is first translated into English by Reynold Nicholson and published in the region. Years later, his Javedname is translated into German and Turkish in 1957 by those who study Islam, including Anna Marie Schimmel. The book is published in Munich, Hermann Hesse. The German writer and a winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature writes an introduction to Javedname, as requested by the translator. Hesse writes, "Sir Muhammad Iqbal belongs to three intellectual domains. His works are the outcome of these three intellectual domains: Indian intellectual domain, spiritual domain, and Western thoughts domain."
There are three groups of Persian poets. The first, those who are absolutely meaning-oriented.
Iqbal, as a poet, is highly accomplished. He has bridged the gap between wisdom and heart.
The second, those who are pedantic. Meaning is absent in their poems. They pay attention to words and nothing more.
His poems touch the reader's sensations because they are so meaningful and precede even the thoughts forming in their minds.
The third, those whose poems are full of both words and meanings. From among them, we can name Hafez and Saadi.
Such senses calm mind, imagination, and consequently heart. This is a rare attribute seen in such great poets as Hafez and Rumi. The attribute is common in all Iqbal's poems.
Allama Iqbal has mastery not only over words, but also over various meanings, meanings which come out of him and are derived from his thoughts. His meaning-oriented poems outnumber his other types of poems, just as Rumi's. Iqbal says, "There is no comparison between the melody and me. Speaking is only a pretext. I am pulling the camel, which has no rein."
Allama Iqbal, with a faith in Islam and a reasonable Gnostic faith indicating his deep certitude in God's sovereignty, moves his mind to search for secrets and mysteries of the creation. In his Islamic Gnostic poems, and such verified stories as The Souvenir of Hijaz, The Eastern Message, The Familiar Secrets, and The Mysteries of Rapture, he talks about the principles of internal ontology of things, an idealization of the existential world. While his thoughts are at the height of their powers, he invites Muslims to solidify familiar philosophy exactly in accordance to monotheism, to bring about a new perspective, a new worldview into the Islamic world.
So many memories are related to this house. My father came to live in this house when he was 11. Now, what sort of memory do you want me to tell you?
Talking about Iqbal's thoughts reminds us of the familiar thoughts as his central train of thought. We hear Iqbal saying, to a mullah, a denier of God is an unbeliever. To me, more unbeliever is he who denies his own self.
Just ask, what is Iqbal's philosophy? The answer is, the philosophy of your own. Iqbal's philosophy is in fact the philosophy of one's own, or familiar philosophy. What is familiar philosophy? That you know your origin very well.
Never in my life have I been interested in the world's wealth or posts. I built this very house just to accept my wife's repeated requests. My wife's fate in this house had a different form. Here became a safe place for those in search of their identity. I clearly saw that most Muslims in the motherland had lost their Islamic identity, and to regain it, they need to struggle hard. This house, this quiet corner, became a place for those who wish to fly thoughts of self-belief, something much needed by all.
This house originally belonged to my father, Javed Iqbal. The house title deed had already been issued to my grandmother. Upon the death of my grandmother, the deed was transferred to my father. Allama Iqbal would live here as my father's tenant. He paid the rent to my father every month or every 3 months.
Never did I lose my interest in my native land's people. My best time was when I was among people to see them struggle hard to earn their living. I was inspired by their uproar in the Anarkli district. Loftier than the heavens is the station of man, and the beginning of education is respect for man.
Iqbal lays heavy emphasis on the familiar secrets and mysteries of rapture. Familiarity, as seen by Gnostics, means to entertain the self, to fully know the self. It's a famous statement that knowing the self is meant knowing God. Iqbal emphasized, first and foremost, returning to the self. Search within yourself in order to know the self.
Iqbal invites us to know ourselves before doing anything else. Anything else. We shall heighten ourselves to become a human being, par excellence.
From God's own being, the self got a being so. From God's own show, to self he gave a show. About this shining pearl, I know not where. It could be then without a river there.
Iqbal meant to look carefully at human beings on the one hand, and to look carefully at Islamic ideology on the other hand. For that very reason, we see Iqbal describing in detail the Eastern society and the essence of Islamic thought.
Who is a selected man? A selected man is the one who is searched for by God. He is in a form desired by God. God wants that kind of human being. This is possible only if man searches for himself, to train himself in a desirable way, to maintain the self, to try hard to fully understand the self. This way finally leads to knowing well the Supreme Being.
The greatest message of Iqbal, as expressed in his poems, is to know yourself, to turn to your own self, to know the East, not the West.
Thank you. signs of going senile can be seen very easily in me. The tick-tock of the clock shows clearly the passage of my life. So quickly pass opportunities. So little time have I to reach the end of the line. Oh, the memory of those days when time's sword was allied with the strength of our hands and unveiled the face of truth. Our nails tore loose the knot of this world. Our bowing in prayer gave blessings to the earth. From the jar of truth we made rosy wine gush forth. We charged against the ancient taverns.
इस घर की तामीर हमारी दादी की ख्वाहिश पे की गई थी पर वो इस घर में
सिर्फ This house was built under my grandmother's wish.
उनकी यहां पे बीमार
But only for two or three days she lived here.
चौथे दिन वो फात पा गई. तो उसके बाद
She was sick when they carried her in a car. But she survived only for two or three days.
मेरे वालिद तब 11 साल के थे.
At the age of 11, my father lost his mother when my aunt was about 6 years old. My father and my aunt would come here every day to see Allama, who was lying on this bed. Allama called them and my aunt would come up to Allama and my father would sit on the other side of the bed. This way Allama would feel comfortable.
I usually went to see them after school. Allama was always lying on his bed and resting. I was always beside him. Other people would also go there.
Many came here to see him. Among them, General Muhammad Ali Jinnah, Jawaharlal Nehru, Muhammad Ali Jauhar, and many other intimate friends of
Allama.
They would come here just before or after midday to have a chat with Allama about topics like poetry, philosophy, or any other things. Allama spent his last days of life here.
I was well aware that the main reason why India went under the yoke of British colonization was lack of knowledge of self and reliance on others. Self-awareness springs out self-dependence and internal richness. Know yourself, know your hidden parts. Nurture your parts and create a new world, which will compensate for old shortcomings and soul defects to pave the way for comprehensive development. It is the self which originates existence. It is self-awareness which gives birth to human values. It is the self which affects existence. What human beings see or intuit is a manifestation of the self through mysteries. The form of existence is an effect of the self. Whatsoever thou seest is a secret of the self.
Iqbal's philosophy is objective and tangible. He pulls down philosophy from the metaphysical world to make it tangible and applicable to common people. Iqbal's philosophy is therefore a practical philosophy. It can be put into practice.
O Muslims, you have to preserve your own self. You must follow God and His book, the Holy Quran. When you achieve success in making your own self, you can resist even the whole world. No one can harm you. What is the basis of survival? Survival is based on making your own self. It is the self, the nature mentioned by Quran. And this is the essence of Iqbal's thoughts. This is what Iqbal means of the concept of self. For that very reason, every member of the Islamic world should know this way of thinking, personally and socially.
Today we see a group of ignorant people who commit under the name of Islam, the most heinous acts, though they are all against Islamic teachings. In fact, they are all Satan's companions and toys in the hands of those who want to mislead them. About these people, Iqbal says, Europe very well knows how to secure interests. Takes a loan of that. It gives sustenance in a way that leaves perplexed God.
Nowadays, there are calculated plots against Islam. It's very active to destroy the Islamic world from within. I personally think that we need Iqbal's ideas about Islam now more than ever before. You are simultaneously a learned man, a Sayyid, the descendants of the Prophet. But tell me, are you a Muslim too? The phrase which brings unity to you all is, there is no God but Allah. As Iqbal says, the key to our unity, salvation, and survival, and a familiarity, is in this phrase, there is no God but Allah. Those who follow this phrase never behead Muslims. Iqbal's basic philosophy is that all of us should be unified. All of us should form one single family. Muslims should get unified to guard the sanctuary. I mean Muslims from the Nile shores to the city of Kashgar.
Iqbal tells us to put aside personal interests and to move into a direction leading to social interests. Put aside your personal interests. Let's talk about our religion, our unity. We will end in success. Just because of his thoughts, Iqbal is living on today. I think so.
Just have a look at the tragic events caused by a group of people who are Muslims in name only, as if there has never been a person like Iqbal. His philosophy has sunk into oblivion, as if Iqbal never lived among us. This is a great sorrow, casting a shadow over all Iqbal's philosophy and thoughts. There is no memory of him anymore. The light of all his great books has gone out. The Everlasting Letter, The Familiar Secrets, The Secrets of Rapture, The Persian Psalms, What Can Be Done, O People of the East, The Rout of Philosophy in Iran, The Eastern Message, and Reconstructing Islamic Religious Thoughts. During his last days, Allama says, As Iran, full of unknown meaning, I am unable to endure censurers' sayings. Neither have I any option, nor am I coerced. I am but a living soil, always in revolution.
Isi tarah jab aakhri raat thi Allama sahab ki to wo dono bacche isi darwaze pe aaye.
Then came the last night of Allama's life. His two children came to have their last look at him. Allama was still conscious. Someone from Germany had come to see him, a friend of his or his teacher. The German called the two children and hugged them. My father was leaving the room, but my aunt wasn't. She wanted to stay with him for a while.
At the time, I felt I had to stay with Allama and to sit there motionlessly. Our tutor, Aunt Doris, came there to take me with her. I told her, I will stay here at least for a while.
Allama told the tutor,
she knows that this is the last meeting between the father and the daughter. That is why she doesn't want to leave. Let her stay.
She knows this is the last time she sees her father.
And finally, I felt something was going to happen. For that very reason, I didn't want to leave the place.
Early in the morning, Allama passed away. The muezzin was calling out the morning adhan. Here, beside this bed, was standing his close friend, Ali Bakhsh. There were some other friends too, although most of them were saying their morning prayers at the mosque at that time.
Back then, the mosque was more like a house than anything else. Friends were there to say their prayers in congregation. After their prayers, Allama passed away. His last words were the two testimonies. Then his soul flew to the sky. I personally suppose people like Allama will come to this world several centuries later.
Allama Iqbal Lahori died at the age of 61 on April 21, 1938, after a life of diligence and hard work. In the last moments of his life, he put his hand on his chest, telling Ali Bakhsh, his man, "I have a pain here." And upon uttering this ambiguous, meaningful remark, he bade farewell to the world. Many attended his funeral and accompanied him to his final resting place next to Masjid-e-Shah in Lahore. On his deathbed, Allama composed this song. Does a song gone come back again? No. Does a breeze come from Hijaz? No. There finally came to an end all those days of poverty. Does a Gnostic come back a second time? No. Allama's thoughts and philosophy will remain with us forever, only if we follow him.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. In the United States, Republicans hope to achieve the most powerful victory in American history and to be able to take control of both the House of Representatives and the Senate. But their popularity has waned. Political experts blame former U.S. President Donald Trump for this situation and say by choosing incompetent candidates and its opposition to some popular candidates, the Republicans were unable to create a red wave and to win control of both houses of Congress. We've taken a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The New York Times has more for us. Incomplete results from midterm elections in the United States show that the Republican Party is ahead in both the Senate and the House of Representatives, but has performed far more poorly than it has been expected to. Following the election and according to results so far, 49 seats at the Senate are now held by Republicans, compared to 48 by Democrats. And 207 U.S. representatives are Republican, compared to 189 who are Democratic. As such, Republicans are certain to gain the majority in the House of Representatives, even as vote counting continues. But the race for the majority in the Senate is as yet undecided. Votes for Nevada and Arizona are still being counted, and a tight race in Georgia has officially headed for a December 6 runoff. The Georgia runoff could mean that control of the upper chamber might not be decided for weeks. The Republicans were forced to celebrate a much smaller victory than they had anticipated, even though they appeared to have secured the majority at the House and may do so at the Senate as well. Republicans failed to deliver on a big red wave that was supposed to sweep the country with a base roused by former President Donald Trump. The New York Times called that performance an underwhelming finish. The narrow Republican victory was also soured when conservatives, dismayed by many missed opportunities, began to publicly attack Donald Trump for his toxic leadership of the party, including on Fox News Channel, the former president's favorite television network, and the one mostly associated with his vision of the Republican Party. David Urban, a longtime Donald Trump advisor, said Republicans have followed Donald Trump off the side of a cliff. And Peter King, a former Republican representative who has long supported Trump, said, "I strongly believe he should no longer be the face of the Republican Party." Chris Christie, a former governor of New Jersey, told ABC News, "Almost every one of these Trump-endorsed candidates that you see in competitive states has lost. It's a huge loss for Trump." Some even called for him to hold off plans to run a third presidential campaign in 2024. The Republican performance may have been one of the weakest by an out-of-power party against the first-term presidents in decades. Meanwhile, The Hill newspaper has more for us on the same story. Former U.S. President Donald Trump's critics in the Republican Party have asked him to stay away from the runoff election in Georgia, blaming him for the disappointing performance in last Tuesday's vote. Senate Republicans are worried that Donald Trump may derail the GOP party's chances of winning the runoff election in Georgia next month by either casting doubt on the legitimacy of the midterm elections or announcing his plan for the 2024 presidential election. Donald Trump on Monday, 7th of November, announced that he would make a big announcement on 15th of November at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida. Meanwhile, Republicans are concerned that the Georgia runoff between Senator Raphael Warnock, a Democrat, and the Republican candidate Herschel Walker could turn into a referendum on Trump that will likely result in a loss that could cost them control of the U.S. Senate. As things stand, Republicans will control at least 49 Senate seats next year, compared to 48 by Democrats, which means they need to win two of the three unresolved races in Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada to gain the Senate majority in 2023. However, the House of Representatives majority went to the Republicans. The results from the midterm elections on Tuesday showed that the Republican Party had performed far more poorly than it was expected to perform. In the meantime, Donald Trump continues to push his claims that the 2020 presidential election was stolen from him and has demanded that the candidates he supports embrace his views, though he has failed to back them with any proof. We'll be right back. WISN Television, a television station in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, has also covered the same story. Former U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan believes the Republican Party would have had better results on Election Day if former President Donald Trump wasn't involved in the election campaign. Paul Ryan said on Thursday, 10th of November, that his party is suffering from a Trump hangover. He said the former president's continued prominence on the national political scene is causing problems for Republican candidates, adding, Republicans didn't see that red wave like they were predicting following the election on Tuesday, 8th of November, and according to the results so far, the race for the majority in the U.S. Senate is still undecided. Paul Ryan, who had an uneasy relationship with Donald Trump during his time in the House leadership, said that Trump's kind of a drag on our ticket. I think Donald Trump gives us problems politically. He added, we lost the House, the Senate, and the White House in 2 years when Trump was on the ballot or in office. Paul Ryan also suggested that Trump will not get the Republican presidential nomination in 2024. He said, we want to win. We want to win the White House, and we know that Donald Trump was so much more likely to lose. Trump, who has given every indication that he will launch another bid for the White House in 2024, has claimed he lost the 2020 election because of widespread election fraud. The former president and his right-wing allies have already started casting doubt on the legitimacy of last Tuesday's midterm elections. The Democrats were surprised. U.S. President Joe Biden, the fate of whose presidency is at serious risk because of Republican victory, celebrated the results nevertheless. Even though the Republicans' narrow margin in the House could upend his legislative agenda, Joe Biden said, it was a good day for democracy and I think a good day for America. The potential control of the Senate would give Republicans the power to block Joe Biden's nominees for judicial and administrative posts. President Biden said, our democracy has been tested in recent years, but with their votes, the American people have spoken and proven once again that democracy is who we are. He added, while the press and the pundits are predicting a giant red wave, it didn't happen.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Sister Rehana Kazemi. She has done Bachelor's of Science in Applied Psychology. She's a researcher in the Hafsa Ilmi of Qom, and her research right now is on best trainers and coaches for students in non-Islamic countries with Islamic perspective. A very warm welcome, sister, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much.
You told us a lot of important things that parents need to take care of in the age, especially from 14 to 21. Here in our previous session, we ended our program with the negligence towards girl child. The girls are neglected, especially in Asian countries, wherein they are said that you got nothing to do with this. We don't need your decisions. Nobody asked you, or things like that, the statements like that a girl hears. How would this child develop into a society?
First of all, this is the duty of the parents to treat equally and to treat with the same affection and love to the girls like boys.
All right.
Do not make difference between girls and
because
boys.
Because of their gender.
Yes, because of their gender. And because the girls are more sensitive than boys.
Yeah.
They feel everything like a little things. They can pick up a very small thing.
You're trying to say that they get irritated over very small things.
Very small. And they are more like sensitive than boys. And especially in love and affection, the girls are more sensitive. They want more love from their parents. They want more love from their brothers. So parents always need to show their love to the girls equally to boys. And do not treat them like they are inferior from boys, because this is a type of complex which develops in the girls. And they always feel the inferiority complex.
Mm-hmm.
In this complex, they lose their self-confidence. And when they grow up, this inferiority complex always travel in their personalities. And they will try to seek this love from outside, out of the house, like when they go in university or they go in the college.
So there you go. So we do have this problem today in the society wherein the relationships between girls and boys, unfortunately Muslims as well, is getting more and more. The ratio is going up. And that's because you're saying they're ignored in the family. Yeah.
Ignorance or negligence of the parents always create the problems, especially in girls, because they are sensitive. And if a child could not receive a love or affection from the house, from the family, definitely he will try to seek this love from outside. And maybe in the form of friends. And if a girl
has no knowledge about mahram and non-mahram,
definitely
then she can develop
she
into much
someone
more
will cheer
complex
up,
relationships.
Will give her importance. She will definitely feel that I am more important in sight of him rather than my parents.
Why? And even if the guy is, you know, lying, still the girls get into the trap.
Yes, because the parents did not work on the ground. They need to figure out this thing from the day one, and they need to treat equally. That's why I'm saying the religious women and the religious parents, they play a major role in a child personality. And Islamic education is very important for a mother and for a father.
All right, sister, we'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I am with Sister Rehana Kazemi, and we're discussing about a girl child who's being neglected and now seeks love outside in the society. Even if a boy is lying, sister, you said the girl will still accept. Because don't you think the parents always love, but the problem goes in the expression of that love?
Maybe. But, you know, I realize, especially in Asian families, the main problem is negligence.
Right.
And the main thing, the parents need to figure out where they are going. They need to keep an eye on the girls as well. What are their children doing? Some parents do not care about who are their friends, because nowadays, friend and media have a main influence.
All right, so you're trying to say in upbringing,
yes,
it's not just parents today.
Yes.
It's also the media.
Media and friends. Nowadays, we can see every child has a mobile.
Yeah.
In quite young age, if a child has a mobile and parents do not care,
it's what not a big he's issue talking now, about
that. And maybe she or he pretend that they are sleeping, they are in their bedrooms, and parents like think, oh, they are sleeping. But maybe she's chatting with his friend or with her friend. So this is very important for the parents to keep an eye on their children. They have to fix their screen time. And they do not give the mobile, especially in nights. And they need to check the bedrooms when their children are sleeping. Do not neglect their children. Do not give them so much freedom that they will do whatever they want to do.
They misuse that freedom. Yeah.
And they will try to misuse everything.
All right. So even that misusing, we came to a conclusion, comes from that neglecting part.
Yes.
All right. Well, sister, we have another audience question over here. That child is developing into a backbiting child. How do parents fix this problem? It's a girl who is in her early teens.
If the parent said he's backbiting, this is not a problem. This is the cause of something which develops in his personality and parents did not realize.
Because it's a sign of something?
Sign of something, and it is from the early childhood. The main part of every problem is the negligency. Because when in a sensitive age, when you neglect the child, little or small things, because some children want extra attention.
Yes, and we see attention-seeking behavior.
Attention-seeking behavior. And the backbiting comes in the same behavior. Because in the early age, when I was working with the children, some children want extra attention. And they are attention-seeker. They will ask the things which have no base.
Or no, like, relation.
No relation. For example, I was in the class and one child came to me and he was saying, this boy is saying to me this one. This boy is doing to this thing. He is just touching me. He was sitting on the bench. He was not doing anything. When I called him, he said, no, I was doing my work. And I was watching as well. So this is reason. When we neglect the reason.
All right, so the child is coming up and telling you,
yes,
look,
he
at
wants
me.
The attention. Because
look
he wants
at me,
the attention.
Give me attention.
Not because child, I was doing my thing, so and he wants the attention.
Problem seems to be very deep down.
Yes.
I'll talk to you more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm with Sister Rehana Kazemi, and we reached a very interesting point. We were talking about backbiting, the children who develop this behavior. Sister, you say this is a kind of attention-seeking behavior,
yes.
And this is developed into a child who is neglected.
Yeah, especially in these families who have 3 or 4 children. One child should be like that because the mother could not treat everyone same and she's busy doing this and that. Your child will start screaming. This is one thing as well. He will do backbiting.
We have children who scream a lot today.
Yeah. Nowadays, children are so sensitive and so attention-seeking.
I think they're stressed as well.
Yes, too much stressed. And, you know, in nowadays, maybe, I don't know, how was our childhood? Because in these days, every child is so attention-seeker. If you have 3 or 4 children, that's very difficult for a mother, if she has 4 children, that she will give the same attention to everyone. In this case, definitely one of them will scream. After his screaming, the other will start, no, I did not done anything. He was just touching me. The second point of attention, that he wants to attend your attention.
Screaming.
Yeah.
Attention-seeking behavior.
Backbiting, hitting, these all kinds of attention-seeking. They want to seek your attention. So for a mother, this is an alarming time. When a child is saying something about his brother or sister, mother needs to know about the reason. Why is he saying that my brother is hitting me? What is the reason? these piles up, when they will grow up, these all things piles up and they will become like a backbiting. They becomes like a screaming in a negative behavior and stress and depression. These are the reasons which start from early childhood.
Right.
And we neglect these reasons. We do not care about these reasons. So for a mother, it's very important to learn about the children's behavior. How
so do
these big things come up?
Yeah.
Not all of a sudden. These all big things come up from the early age.
All right. So we basically have been discussing about the teens, the problems that are in the teens. But you are saying these problems also root back in the early childhood?
Every problem has the root cause.
All right. So the problems that a child develops in the, for example, in his teens, has somewhere roots in his early childhood
while
he was neglected by the parents. And that's why now he develops into a screaming child, a bossy behavior child, or other attention-seeking behaviors, or even backbiting, you said.
Yeah, I will say that because in the psychology, we will say some children in teenage, they behave like wild animals. Why? Wild behavior. What is the wild behavior? So why he's behaving like this? These kind of children, they are neglected children. Parents, for example, mom is doing work, father is doing job, the child all day, he's with a babysitter, mother when she comes from the...
Or nowadays with a mobile phone.
Yes, and playing on the PlayStation and these horror games, overage games. When these all things piles up, the child behave like
develops
this.
Develops into a wild behavior. Thank you so much, sister, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. If you have any questions, dear audiences, comments, or suggestions, please contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on the social media websites just by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our programs on our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another program, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.